For the month of January, we're going to be talking about life. We're going to be talking about first thing, because if you remember last week, I finished up with the purpose. Jesus had a passion for purpose. And I showed you the passion and the purpose for Jesus Christ. Now I believe God wants me to show you the purpose for you. What is our purpose? I mean, why do we exist? That's really the question. So before I get into it, anybody here need a Bible? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. Anybody here? Okay, have we already handed out sermon worksheets? Man, these ushers are rocking. Okay. So we're going to talk about life. And you know, in 1860, this game came out by Milton Bradley. In 1860 is the original date of it. And of course, it's been here and they've redone it and freshened it up and made it new looking. But you know, all in all, this game really does parallel life. It's amazing how much it parallels life. And you know, most people, you just kind of go around and you start and you don't know where to end. So watch this video and see if you can relate to the video. There we go. So as we look at that, we see it. It's kind of like you start out and then you go, do I go career or do I go to college? And then, well, if I go to career, you know, I can get to my house and I can get to my mortgage and I can get to all these things a little bit faster. If I go college, then I'm going to have to incur some debt. Anybody know anything about college and debt? Yeah. Man, I praise God that when I graduated college, literally we were debt free. We every semester, at the beginning of every semester, God blessed me where I could write a check and pay for every semester up front. That was huge because he knew I was coming to New York, which was huge too. So, but you know, you in the game of life, you can go two different directions. And where you start out sometimes determines where you're going to end or the path, and various things are going to happen inside this path that you're going to take, whether it's career or whether it's college. And some of you are on the front side. In other words, you're ready to start out. You're ready to launch out into life. You're ready to go, okay, you know what? Here's where I'm at. I'm young, and I'm ready to grow. And so this is the front side. Do I want college? Do I want a career? You're there trying to make this decision. Some of you, you're on the back side of it. You know, it's too late to go back to school. It's never really too late, but you get what I'm saying, to start all over. And so you've already established yourself in your career. You've established your mortgage. You've established your wife. You've established your children. Sometimes you want to trade the children for another mortgage. But either way, you've established yourself. Now you're on the backside, and some of you are in the middle. You're right there in the middle. And as you look at the people today and you watch the middle, and I'm looking at the 27 to 35-year-olds. You're still in kind of a mode of, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Why do I exist? You know, what am I supposed to do? What's going on? And so some of you are in that. Well, I want you to know that today, you need to understand that you were created to live an intentional life. An intentional life. Not just floating around, because some of us just float, don't we? We get up in the morning and we just float through the day and then we go to bed at night. How many just have experienced that? Yeah, and you just go, man, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than just get up, go to work, run after the children, do dinner, go to bed, get up, do it all over again. And then the weekend comes and hopefully you'll get to sleep in a little bit, but you may not get to sleep in a little bit. Then you got to get up and just go through the motions again. And then you try to find something to fulfill the emptiness, something to fulfill that man, there's got to be more. So what can I do to make it more? Anybody been there? Isn't it amazing? We really all go through that. And so I want you to know today that you were created to live an intentional life. God says, I have a purpose for you. God says, listen, I want you to know that I have an intentional purpose for you. I have a strategy. It's very strategic, very purposeful, very intentional. And I want you to know what it is. Now, for the next 4 weeks, this is what we're going to cover. Today we're covering purpose. Next week is vision. The following is mission. And then after that is strategy. And we're going to cover this. The purpose is, what am I here for? The vision is, where am I headed? Where am I going? The mission is, what needs to be done? What needs to be done? What do I need to do? Might be a better way to ask the question. What do I need to do? And then we have our strategy. How do I fulfill the mission? The strategy. You know, once we get our purpose, what am I here for? Then we have the vision and we go, okay, now where am I headed? What am I going to do with this? Where am I headed? Once we get the vision, then we move into the mission. What do I need to do to accomplish and get where I'm going? And then the strategy is, how do I fulfill the mission? See, all this builds, so you don't want to miss a week. You really don't, because you want to get this. You really want to know why you're here and where you need to go and how to fulfill that. And that'll alleviate a lot of frustration in your life. Some of you are strategic type A people. And so right now you're going, oh yeah, this is good. Lay it out. I can go and I can plan, I can set, and I can write it down. And some of you are just a little flighty. Now, I don't mean flighty in a negative way, but you can't even decide what's for lunch today. You're going to preach it. I'm deciding where we're eating or what we're eating. I want you to know, though, that when we're done, you can understand your purpose. God is very strategic and intentional. He is, by the way, success does not happen by accident. You need to get that. Success does not happen by accident. Listen, you don't just, you know, you fall into holes and you fall off cliffs, but generally you never just fall into success. It is a purposeful decision. You know, this church didn't happen just because God sent me here to New York. This church happened because I had a purpose. And God gave me what I needed, and we bring it together, and it took effort, and it takes work, and it still takes work. And then it takes you catching on to the passion of putting Jesus first, realizing it's not all about you, and you want to put Jesus first, and then all of a sudden the church happens because there's purpose. You came here today not by accident. Listen, you didn't fall out of bed, fall into your clothes, fall into the car, fall over here into the parking lot, and then fall up the steps. Okay, some of you might have fell up the steps, but it just didn't happen. You made a decision that said, I'm going to go to church, and you're here. I want you to know success does not happen by accident. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4. I want to show you that God is very strategic and intentional. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord, listen. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Now think about that for a second. God has organized and he has strategically set everything in place. If we look at the Old Testament, and we can see in the Old Testament, let's just look at creation for a minute. Creation, the rocks cry out that there's a creator. The trees cry out there's a creator. The heavens, the sky cries out that there's a creator. Very strategic. Everything has purpose and order. If you look, listen, do you understand how everything is so dependent upon something else? If you look at the trees and the plants, what is their purpose? Believe it or not, their purpose is for us to live. It's an amazing thing. So if we looked at evolution, that's really not possible, is it? Because it says that the amoeba, a spark of energy zaps muddy water, and the amoeba comes out, and as the amoeba's crawling out of this puddle of water that just happened to be how it ever got there, and it just crawled out, and then all of a sudden it just keeps going, and it loses its tail, and it gains its wings, and it loses its nose, and it gains a snout and a trunk, and I don't know. Couldn't have happened. Because if you look at the order of creation and you look how God put everything in place, everything existed before living creatures. Did you notice that when you read it? The waters, the plants, the trees, all this came in and it existed before us. Why? Because we need it to survive. It can't go the other way. It's physically impossible. Nothing would have survived, not even the amoeba. And so when you look at creation, it cries out order. It cries out intention. It cries out strategy. And then when we look at the tabernacle, let's just go through the Old Testament for a minute. And you look at the tabernacle. And God says, listen, here's how I want you to make it. I want you to make it this big. I want you to make it this color. I want you to put these utensils in there. I want you to praise me here. And I want you to put it here. And I want you to carry it like this. And I mean, listen, when he laid it out on the tabernacle, man, it was very strategic. He didn't just say, hey, you know what? Pop up a tent and walk in there and praise Jesus and everything's good. He didn't do that. He laid it out. It was an intentional. It was strategic. Then you look at Joseph and the famine. Listen, remember that 7-year famine? But God's people had to survive. And so God says, all right, Joseph, listen, here's the plan. And it's very strategic. And you lay it out because you got to feed these people for 7 years. Very strategic. God is a God that is a God of strategy and intention. And then you look at Nehemiah, which we would have today, but not happening. But I got it in there, didn't I? But you look at Nehemiah and how everything was structured to get the walls rebuilt. Nehemiah, listen, Nehemiah said, I need money, I need equipment, I need people, I need all this stuff to erect a wall. And he puts this wall up that's 20 to 30 feet thick and goes around the entire city like 2 miles. In 52 days, 30 feet tall. Think about this for a minute. Do you think that the wind blew and God just popped it up like in the cartoons and said, there you go, Nehemiah's done? No, it was very strategic. And God put everything in place. And Nehemiah had to work with what he had, very strategic. And then you look at Moses. Moses is trying to lead a rebellious group of people. Moses is trying to take the Israelites through the desert. And man, he's pulling his hair out. He's kind of going crazy. And then his father-in-law, Jethro, comes up to him and he says, Moses, hold on, buddy. Listen, you can't lead everybody. Here's what you got to do. You put people in charge. Give me some air, please. You put people in charge. And when you put them in charge, listen, sometimes some people can lead 100. Sometimes they can only lead a few. Sometimes they can lead 1,000. But start putting people in charge. Start giving them direction. There's got to be structure. And so he kind of sets up this structure of how to come to him and how to accomplish and get things done. There is structure there, and it was intentional. Then we get into the New Testament. When we get into the New Testament, we look at Jesus. Now listen, there's nobody more purposeful or more structured than Jesus in the New Testament. Nobody. When we look at Jesus and we start unfolding Jesus, here's what we see. We see his purpose. All throughout the New Testament, his purpose is what? To glorify his Father. Isn't that what he says? I'm here to bring glory to my Father. I'm here to glorify my Father. That was his purpose. Then we look and he had vision. Because see, guys, listen, as we go through this, I'm challenging you. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? And so Jesus had a purpose to glorify his Father. His vision said, he said, listen, here's where I'm headed. I'm headed to do the will of my Father. And then his mission was to seek and to save the lost. Remember, he said, listen, I'm here. This is my mission, to seek and to save the lost. That's what needed to be done. John 10:10 says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says this, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. He says, listen, I've come that you'd have life and you'd have it more abundantly. I have come to seek and to save the lost. And then not just to seek and to save you, but to give you a life that is so abundant, so much more than you're living now. That's what I've come for. That's my mission strategy. How am I going to accomplish this? Well, Jesus looks at it. And his strategy says, listen, that he was born of a virgin, he died on the cross, he rose again, he's at the right hand of the Father. That's the strategy. That's how he's going to seek and to save you and me. He had to die on the cross, he had to shed his blood. He said, listen, the only way you can get to heaven is if there is an absolute, pure, sinless, perfect sacrifice. And God said, here's the strategy, Jesus. You're going to give yourself up. And so his strategy, but listen, I want you to see that his strategy cost him something, didn't it? Guys, if you understand your purpose, and then all of a sudden you see your vision, and you know your mission, your strategy is going to cost you something. Strategy, listen, nobody starts a business on nothing. It costs something. Everything you have costs you something. The direction you're going is you're going to pay a price for it. I don't care. And listen, that applies to the world, not just a Christian. That applies to the entire world. You can't get away from it. Jesus was intentional, and we must be as well. Look at Peter, the Apostle Peter. Very specific. He says, you know what? I'm going to go, and I am going to be a witness to the Jew. Very specific. We know that Peter's ministry was to the Jews. And then we look at Paul, the Apostle Paul. And you know, listen, he was the Hebrew of Hebrews. The Jew of Jews. He'll tell you, man, listen, I was born a Hebrew. I was circumcised on the eighth day. He unloads. He says, I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. And what was his mission? His purpose was to witness to the Gentiles. And so he had a strategy and he lays it out and we go through the epistles and the epistles tell us, listen, I'm going to tell you, and all throughout the epistles, if we read it, he tells us, this is how you should live. Listen, Christian, this is how you should live. You're not the same as you were. And so now that you're different and God is your Father and Jesus is your Savior, you're different now. You've been set apart. You need to live this way. You need to have purpose and you need to have direction. And so we read the epistles, it tells us who we are now and how we're supposed to live. And then scriptures shows us we were created for more than just floating through life. I want you to know, young people, there's purpose in life. Those that are middle-aged, what's middle-aged? I guess if you're going to live to be 100, 50's middle-aged, isn't it? If you're going to live to be 80, then 40's middle-aged. If you're going to live to be 60, then some of you are already there. It's encouraging. I'm going to say I'm middle-aged. I'm going to hit 90. I don't want to live to be 90. I want to be with Jesus before that. But at any rate, you can't go just floating through life. Paul says, listen, things have changed and you need to live the way God tells you to live. So here's what happens. We must answer this question. Why am I here? Why am I here? Let's watch this video.
What is your purpose in life?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Have you ever thought about it before?
Nope.
You've never thought about it?
Nope. Not at all. haven't spent any time on it.
You haven't spent any time thinking about what your purpose is in life?
Not recently. Should I be?
Well, you tell me. It's your life.
No, I haven't spent any time on that. I just go day to day. That's just it.
What is your purpose in life?
I really haven't put that much thought into it.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just trying to have a good time.
What is my purpose in life?
You got to give me time to think about
okay,
that
think
one.
About it.
Get through it. Don't kill anybody.
Just keep doing until I get it over with.
Just be happy.
It's just to be happy.
I think that I should have fun and be happy.
To be happy and make my family happy and my boyfriend happy and just be happy.
I don't really feel that I'm here to do anything in particular. I mean, it's not like I think that I'm destined to do something or be someone or something like that. I'm just kind of going through the routines, you know, as society's laid it all out for us.
I feel like I have a purpose to help preserve, conserve the beauty of nature.
Hopefully leave some sort of legacy.
To contribute to the betterment of mankind.
Tell me what your purpose in life is.
Go to work, go home, live. I got a purpose. Everybody got a purpose on earth, but I ain't found my purpose out yet.
To live a long life and to be prosperous.
What's my purpose in life? My purpose in life is to be successful.
To be successful and to lead a happy, fulfilling life.
To provide well for my family.
I want to be a really powerful woman. Build my career built in financial area.
Do you think that you have a purpose?
Not necessarily. I think purpose is just to do what you want to do. Go out and live life and have fun.
Yeah, I think everybody has a purpose in life. And what would that purpose be for you? I'm not sure yet.
What is your purpose in life?
My purpose in life is basically to live the best life I can and to help others and be there for my friends and my family.
How do you know that that's your purpose? Where does that come from?
Comes from within my heart and my head.
How do you know having fun is your purpose?
I don't know. I mean, that's just personal philosophy. Get it from what I think, that's it.
How do I know this is my purpose? What kind of question is that?
Boy, I think you gotta start drinking before you talk about that, really.
What is your purpose in life?
My purpose in life? I am deeply rooted in the Christian faith, and my purpose would be to glorify God in all that I do.
Do you have a purpose in life?
No.
Have you ever thought about it before?
Guess I've thought about it a little, but it scares me, so I don't.
What do you mean it scares you?
I don't know. I just like to more concern myself with living day to day, having fun.
And that's it?
That's pretty much it.
More or less, we're just going through the motions here, and, you know, you do what you feel like doing. I don't think there's anything really pushing or pulling us in any direction. And, you know, it ends whenever your life ends.
That's very interesting, the end statement that, you know, there's nothing pushing or pulling you in any either direction. Everything just kind of ends when it ends. Man, what a lousy way to live life. I mean, is it just me, or do you desire direction? Is it just me, or do you desire a purpose? Wouldn't you hate to think that you lived 80 years or whatever you lived and you did it all for nothing, no purpose? I mean, think about that. It'd make you feel pretty useless, wouldn't it? Am I the only one that's walked around going, what is my purpose, God? Why am I here, God? What am I supposed to be doing, God? I mean, Am I the only one? Who's joined me in that question? Thank you. Absolutely. What is our purpose? Why are we here? I want you to understand that if you don't understand your purpose, life really does just kind of feel useless. And we go through the motions, and we're always looking. You ever know? We're always looking for something. We're always looking for an appetizer. We're always looking for a teaser. We're always looking for that shot of adrenaline, that thrill. Always. I mean, listen, when we go to Cedar Point, man, it's all about the thrill rides, isn't it? How many have ever been to Cedar Point? How many have ever heard of Cedar Point? Well, God bless you. Look it up on the internet. And so, but Cedar Point is a big thrill ride park. And man, you go there for the thrill. You know, before I knew Jesus, I was king of thrill. It was just always wrong. But I was, man, I was thrill junkie. And so my thrill came from any way that I could conceive something to just stir the world up, even though it was my own little world. I did it. And now today I can go, what is my purpose? Because back then I didn't know. Ecclesiastes 1:1-4 says this, and this is by Solomon, which you have to remember who Solomon was. Solomon was the wealthiest king ever. The wealthiest. He desired nothing. He had everything, and he could have everything money could buy. And he says this, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Listen to what he says here. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Vanity, vanity. It's all in vain. He says, listen, I have 700 wives, 300 concubines. So let's just say he wasn't a lonely man. He was the king. God said, listen, what do you want? And Solomon said, I want great wisdom so that I can lead your people. And God said, listen, because you've asked for nothing for yourself, here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you great riches. I mean, riches that exceed anybody that's ever lived. I'm going to give you wisdom that no person in the world will ever have again. I'll give you wisdom. And he says, you'll be known throughout the land. You'll be the King of Kings. Under Jesus, of course. And he wanted for nothing. But yet he said, I've got all of this, and life is empty. Life is empty. How do I fulfill it? Well, you have to answer the question, why do I exist? And when you answer that question, why do I exist, that question will define your life. It'll absolutely define your life. Number one, purpose dictates priorities. Purpose dictates priorities. You will align your life to your purpose. If you say, listen, my purpose is to make money, then everything you do, every way you look at something, it will line up to accomplish your purpose. And now your purpose, if it's to make money, then everything is going to come into alignment to make money. Every way you look at it is going to be an angle on how I can make money. Everything that you hear that people do around you, you're going to look at it as for your purpose. Like, how can I make money through this? And you know what? Your family will go on a back burner. Your friends will take a back burner. And fun will take a back seat because you're driven and your purpose is money. Then you might be one that says, hey, you know what? My purpose is to be happy. Did you hear it in the video? Happy, 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 happy. I get so frustrated with that. What do you want? I just want to be happy. How are you going to accomplish it? I don't know. Man, it's so frustrating. Happy, happy. I hate the word happy. I like being happy, but let me tell you this. Happy is dependent upon happenings. Happiness is dependent upon happenings. The Bible says that only joy, and by the way, joy is that deep, inner-seated emotion that can only be gotten by God, through God, from God. Not things. You can buy things all day long, but those things, you got to keep taking care of them. And after a while, they get old and you trade it off and you get a new one and you just go through this whole roll of life, don't you? Why? Because you're always looking for happiness through happenings or through things. And it doesn't happen that way. So if you're looking for happiness, then here's what it'll do. Everything you do, you will look through it through the lens of how does this make me happy? So whatever's going on around you, whatever people are in your life, how will this make me happy? Well, if this isn't going to make me happy, get rid of it. And if this does make me happy, bring it in. And by the way, what'll make you happy this morning may not make you happy tonight. And what makes you happy that moment may disgust you the following moment. But if you build everything on happiness and say, I just want to be happy, then everything you do, you will align and you will look through that lens. And let me tell you what that creates. A very, very self-centered person. If all you're looking is to be happy, you're going to be incredibly self-centered because everything you do is going to be all about you. And let me tell you, remember Colossians 1:16, we've talked about it, it's posted up. It's not about you. I know that bursts some of your bubbles, but it's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And so the next thing is purpose. Purpose dictates perspective. Purpose dictates perspective. Once you answer the question, what is my purpose? You will process life through the lens of how you answered the question. So for those of us who are Christians, and when I say Christians, because you know so many people put themselves under this classification as Christian, and you're not. I'm just going to say it. Some of you are not Christians. Here's what a Christian is. A Christian is a Christ follower. Some of you are claiming the title, and you're not living it. Quit claiming the title. It's not yours. And you go, but I'm a Christian. If you're not a Christ follower, you're not a Christian. I mean, it's really simple. Guys, you know I don't like... I told you I took a class so I don't offend people. I failed the class. But... and I offended the teacher. And it's okay. But listen, as a Christian, we can't look at what our purpose is through the world. We can't look at it and say, you know what, my purpose is to be happy, or my purpose is for money, or my purpose is to please my friends or my family. Or my... No. As a Christian, we have to ask this question. What does God have to say about my purpose? What does God have to say about me and what he wants from me? What does God have to say about all this? Well, I'm going to tell you, as I process through this, and I want you to listen to these verses and see if you can find a theme in these verses. I want you to listen to them. They'll be up on the board as well, Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Psalm 146:2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Hebrews 13:21. You make complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. Are you seeing the theme that rolls through here? Colossians 3:23-25. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Romans 14:8-9. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What is our purpose as a Christian? As a Christian, what are our purpose? I want you to see that all creation testifies of his glory. And the Christian, us, we should testify of his glory. And when you understand what your purpose is, when you understand that God created us, and that God desired us, and that God loved us. By the way, God loves you. Do you know that's why you're here? Because of his love for you? Listen, you were intentional by Him. And sometimes people think, well, I don't matter, but I'm telling you, to God, you matter. He loves you. Listen, if you didn't matter, He wouldn't allow His Son to die. For one purpose. You. Me. And we think, wow, well, I want you to know that everything we do, because we've been bought with a price. You've seen that. We've read that. Everything we do, we've been bought with a price. So we need to do what we do so that it brings God the most glory. We need to bring Him the most glory with our lives. What is your life like? Your purpose as a Christian, listen, as a lost person, is going to line up with money, happiness, things, whatever it is, whatever you feel your purpose is. I can't answer that. Only you can answer it. But I want you to know that anything that comes short of bringing God the glory will always come short in satisfaction. It will. Listen, you were created with a purpose, and your purpose was to bring God glory. There was no other purpose. None. Now, we choose to bring on other purposes. We choose other avenues of life. We choose other directions. But I'm telling you right now, the only purpose, that's our true purpose, is to bring God glory. And if you fall short in that, you're never going to be satisfied. You can't be satisfied fulfilling something that you weren't built and designed to do. And so what will happen is, as a Christian, you'll process everything through that lens. Not about what makes you happy or what makes you the most money, but how can I bring God the most glory? And you'll do it, listen, and you'll process it through everything through that lens, whether it is family or friends, whether it's your wife, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's even your enemy, you will go, how can I bring God the most glory through this? And sometimes it's hard to see, because sometimes you just want to shoot your enemy, don't you? Okay, and maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes I really want to just kind of take care of my enemy. God, you know what? I got a great plan here, and it's not to smile at him. And God says, nope, you need to love your enemy. And we can either go, you know what, God, they're unlovable. I'm not going to do it. Or we can go, okay, God, you know what? I want you to have the glory because I want them to know you as, know Jesus as their Savior. And so, God, I'm going to love them. You know why? Because it's not about me, God. It's about you. And I want to bring you the glory. And if I'm going to bring you the glory, God, then I got to be obedient to you. You see how it works? And He says, that's what I want you to do. Purpose dictates priorities. Purpose dictates perspective. And the reality is, some of you feel that you don't matter. Some of you are seeking and searching and you have no clue. You don't even know where to look. And you've been looking through life and you've been trying this and trying that. And man, some of you have given yourselves away to ungodly things. And some of you have just pursued the path of destruction. And you go, hey, what I've been doing is not destructive. I'm telling you, if it takes you away from God, it's destructive. It's kind of like the beach and the ocean. And you build this house here. I have a friend of mine who built, he bought a house at the beach in the Carolinas. And he was two streets away from being on coastline. Two streets back. And he would talk about, or I'd tell him, I said, man, I bet you wish your house was right on the beach, don't you? And he goes, one day it will be. And you know what? Today, he's beachfront property. See, because we look at the ocean and we look at the waves and we watch it come in, go, and we watch it come in and we watch it go. And we go, oh, how beautiful and how nice and how pleasant. But those very same waves that have been slowly eroding the foundation has destroyed the home. It's destroyed the yard. First, you notice that's where it started, was the yard, and then it hit the home. And then it just kept working back. And kept getting more homes and more houses and more families and just wiping it away. So I'm telling you, when you go, look, what I've been doing, it hasn't been so bad. If it has been less than bringing glory to God, it is the ocean that is just washing away. It's slow. And you step back and go, there's nothing wrong. It's beautiful. Look at this. And God's going, are you a fool? Can you not see what's happening? Guys, I just want you to know, anything less than bringing God glory through your life, your actions, your thoughts, your works, your whatever it is, you got that ocean effect going on. It's just washing away. And yet it looks so harmless and beautiful and serene. Have you ever looked out on the ocean when it was just absolutely peaceful? wow, the most gorgeous thing, the sun setting on it. And you go, wow, beautiful. People pay big money to sit there and watch the how serene it is and to watch the 8-foot waves coming over wondering if it's going to break the wall. People pay big money for that. And I want you to know that that's what sin is. It just washes away, guys. What is your purpose? You matter. Listen, quit seeking and searching. God loves you. Are you ready for this? You are His most prized possession. Think about that. You are His most prized possession. And if you don't understand how He made you and how delicately He made you and how He, when He crafted you, He didn't just speak you into existence, but literally He formed you with His own hands and He breathed His life into you. Did that with nothing else. Man, you are His prized possession. And so then how dare you? How dare you say, I'm a Christian and be less than God honoring? What you're really saying is, I appreciate the ticket to heaven, but get out of my way until then. Shame on you. Because He loves you. You're His most prized possession. You matter because you matter to Him. And one of the greatest tools that Satan has is complacency. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to make you feel settled. He's going to make you feel safe. He's going to bring complacency to you. And you're just going to go, oh, this is good. This is nice. That's where Satan wants you. It's not where God wants you. I want you to see that your life is a gift from God, so now it becomes a stewardship issue. We talked about stewardship in November, about our finances. Well, I'm telling you what, your time and your life is a stewardship issue. God has given you life. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to bring Him glory, or are you going to bring yourself glory? Because what you do with it and how you handle it absolutely matters. The road to intentionality and to a purposeful and productive life begins right here, answering this question, why do I exist? Why do I exist? When you walk out of here today, when you head out that door and you're going home and everywhere you go this week, I want you to ask yourself, why do I exist? And if you come up with anything less than to bring God glory, you need Jesus. And you go, well, I have Jesus, but I'm backslidden. You need Jesus. You need a fresh dose or a fresh kick, one of the two. But you need Jesus. You need to do whatever you do to bring God glory. Because that's your purpose. That's why you exist. That's why you were created. Nothing more, nothing less. The greatest, greatest gift ever was God giving you life. What are you going to do with it? I want everyone to stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I am not going to take long. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need Him. Because if you were to die, you're not going to heaven. If you're walking around and you say, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what my direction is, it's because you don't know Jesus. And only Jesus is going to bring that, and only Jesus is going to fulfill that. And until you recognize that Jesus is the only answer to every one of your problems, you're never going to answer the question, why do I exist? And be content with it. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you pray this prayer with your heart, not your head. You got to mean it. The words don't save you. It's your heart condition that does. You have to believe. Pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I do wrong. I have aimed to please myself. I have aimed to bring glory and desire to myself. And right now, Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to save my soul, that heaven will be my home when I die. If that's you and you prayed that prayer today. Now listen, if you prayed it before and you meant it, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those today who said, you know, man, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. If you prayed it before and you realize that, you know, man, I didn't mean it. I just kind of said it. But today, man, I get it today. And today is the day that I give my life to Christ. If that's you.